Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sylvia F. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from San Francisco Bay. Today is Thursday, May 31st, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book on page 65, the third paragraph, which starts with, "We went back through our lives," through two paragraphs ending with, "To drink is to die." Today's readers are Pia S. on the 12 Steps, Libby E. on the 12 Traditions, and readers of the text are Elaine T., Terry H., and Julie E. B. And at the end of the recorded hour, for the last 10 minutes, we have a meeting, and we greet our newcomers. That's Melanie C., who will be greeting our newcomers, and we have our sponsors and announcements. The share ID for Wednesday, May 30th, 10 a.m., is 11,477, and the share ID for Thursday, May 31st, 7 a.m., is 11,479. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Pia S. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Pia?
Thank you. Sylvia, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, perfect. This is Pia S., and I'm recovered in Parkland, Florida. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for your service, Sylvia, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Pia S. I will now ask Libby E. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Sylvia. Good morning. I'm Libby E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in New York. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary. Six.
We've lost
an OA.
Okay. Go ahead. Six.
Six. An OA group or never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Libby E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 65. It's the third paragraph, which starts with, we went back through our lives, and we're reading through two paragraphs, ending with, to drink is to die, and I will ask Elaine T. to read that and share.
Hi, Sylvia, can I be heard?
Yes.
This is Elaine T., recovered just for today in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that the world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permitted these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal, for when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. And with us, the drink is to die. Wow. What a paragraph, or what a couple of paragraphs. My first thoughts are that nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. And I was mostly honest, I think, the first time, but I'm not even sure that I wasn't somewhat dishonest in doing this, not just from a lack of experience or not understanding what thorough honesty was, but also simply because I wasn't being honest with myself. And I did have to go through a relapse and a couple more times before I felt like I was actually doing something to improve my conscious contact and spiritual experience and therefore getting recovery. And it wasn't until I completely understood the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind that I could get that recovery. So thank you to this wonderful group. But getting back to the reading, the next thing that struck me was, the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. I was one of those that, you know, if you don't succeed at first, try again. And I would, you know, start with a shovel and end up with a steam shovel. I was running over people right and left trying to get what I thought was the right life or the right anything. And yeah, I was just leaving, you know, bodies on the road. And then I love the sentences that say, the precise extent that we permit these resentments, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? Because once I got rid of those resentments and the anger that was pouring out my ears, my life changed tremendously. And that was through my first fourth step. Because I did get rid of the resentments. It was some of the other things that I held on to, including some of the foods. But I didn't leave the rooms, and I did eventually learn how to maintain and grow a spiritual experience through the wonderful people in this program, and I was able to unlock the situation that I was in and get the sunlight of the spirit. And for me, recovery for me was an uphill battle the whole time. I've been in program 25 years. But every step I took, my higher power took a leap towards me. And so I continued to improve. Thank you, God. Today, I believe that I am recovered, but I also realize that there's some serious warnings here. Number one, I don't have the right to resentment. Number two, pushing my ideas by fighting and pushing my own way, I only seem to win. I must maintain and have a growth of spiritual experience. And the sunlight of the spirit is so wonderful that, thank you, God, I want to do these things today. And if you had asked me 25 years ago if I was going to spend my life and a large amount of my time working this program, I would have said, no way, I got a life, I got stuff to do. Rah, 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 rah. And today I have a wonderful life and I do have stuff to do. But these things give me the life that I am participating in and allow me to enjoy a life beyond my wildest dreams. So I strongly encourage the newcomer or anybody who's struggling to stop fighting, follow the directions, and the life you will acquire will be a million times better than you could ever even imagine. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Elaine. I'm now going to take a list of people who want to share on page 65, third paragraph. We went back to our lives, and we're going to end with To Drink is to Die. Yes?
Pauline F.
Pauline F.
Mm-hmm. Sherry H.
Okay, wait, I just already missed someone. Is Candy M?
Brandy M.
Brandy. Hi, Brandy. Okay, Brandy M.
Hi.
Okay. I've got Pauline M, Brandy M, Terry H, Eileen M.
Terry F.
Wendy.
Terry F, Wendy M. I can take a couple more if somebody's dying to get in there.
Jen A.
Jen A. Okay. So Pauline F, Brandy M, Terry H, Eileen M, Terry F, Wendy M, and Jen A. You go ahead and start, Pauline F, and Brandy, you're right after.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for your service. I just wanted to pitch some gratitude. In listening to this, these paragraphs, it's like, My life just is so, so different than what it was before program. You know, I was, I still am self-centered totally, but I don't have to act on it today. and I look at the, the way I was with people, before program. And definitely everybody did me wrong, and everybody was wrong, and everybody annoyed me. And that's not the case today. Now I'm in a relationship that's been almost 21 years, and I have good friends, and you know, I wake up joyful more days than not. And before I didn't, you know, it was, if I was happy, and it wasn't joy, it was happiness. It was happy. I was happy because of something outside of myself, you know, that somebody didn't annoy me or somebody did what I thought they should do. And so I'm just the life I have today is wonderful, and I really can say that I owe it all to my program, to this program. And I don't work it perfectly, but I work it, and because I know that no matter what, I need this program so that I can keep connected, because I know that my life depends upon the connection with my higher power, with my sponsor, and with all of you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Pauline F. Brandy M., followed by Terry H.
Good morning. It's Brandy M. Can I be heard?
Yes, Brandy.
Wow, I needed to hear this today. God brings things to you and you need to hear them. I just finished another step four yesterday and we'll give it away today. And, you know, thank God I don't have to come to a place anymore to just conclude that others were wrong or that, you know, it's other people's problems or play the blame game, that I can actually see that, wait a minute, you have a huge part in this. And why are you acting this way? And for that self-awareness, I'm so grateful for today. I've had a really hard week, and we had a loss on Friday. And in the process, I'm seeing that, you know, I have so many resentments still. Therefore, I'm trying to support people and be there for people. But with all my resentments around those people, I'm not able to be present. And thank God for this program, because resentment is not for me anymore. I cannot have a resentment. I can't carry it. If I do, I'll be back in the food. And the Big Book tells me that in several other ways. So I was just like, I need to get to it. I need to figure this out. And at first I wasn't sure, because I was trying so hard to fight against the character defects. And then, you know, and then it's like, I need to surrender to God and see what comes up. And a whole lot of stuff came up, and, you know, the world has wronged me, and, you know, I think I know best. And at the end of the day, it was really going to the fact that my best ideas, again, got me to where I am. So do I really know best? No, God knows best. And so today I can be free of those resentments and give them away and not have to carry them. And I can unblock myself so that I can't. How can I support people when God is not, obviously, you know, I'm blocked because I have resentments against these people. And so I'm just really grateful for this program and just, you know, the growth, that I don't have to write one step four and be done with it, that I can go back. I don't need to be perfect at everything the very first time. And that sometimes in life, you're not aware that you have these resentments, but again, I can go back and, you know, get rid of them. And so yeah, I'm feeling gratitude today. It's been a really tough week, and I'm so grateful to the people in this program. And at the end of the day, I didn't need to pick up. Like, 4 months ago, I would have been in the food. Like, I was in the food 4 months ago, and now I can go through the loss of a parent and not pick up. I can look at what character defects are standing in my way. Why am I being such a cow? And figure it out with my sponsor and with God. Like, it's amazing. Food's not a part of this process. Did I think about food? Yeah. But it wasn't an option. It can't be an option today. So super grateful, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Brandy M. Terry H., followed by Eileen M.
Hi, everyone. My name is Terry H., a recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic anorexic in North Carolina. Very grateful today. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When I embarked upon this program and asked my sponsor to work to go through the big book in this process, you know, my commitment to her was that I would be honest. And it was a huge commitment to myself as well, because all my life, you know, I was not always honest. There were a lot of times that I was dishonest. And when embarking upon the, you know, fourth step in this process and doing this inventory, it was very important for me to be honest and thorough. I wanted to be open. Multiple people told me, and I heard on the line that, you know, it's not going to be perfect. I'm not going to do this perfect, this process perfectly. I heard a fellow share the other day that God is not going to put my fourth step on his refrigerator. And I really heard that, even though it made me giggle. And so through that process, I understood that it was only a beginning, you know, but I wanted to be honest and I wanted to be thorough. You know, for most of my life, I lived in deep resentment, and it led to futility and unhappiness for me. I lived the life of a victim. Many things happened to me in my childhood that I held on to, and everything I did in my life was based on those experiences. I ran away. I hid. I held in emotions. I disconnected from people. I ran from relationships before they could run. And that was my life. And, you know, I sought out food as to help me cope in life. And so, you know, I am a compulsive overeater. I have an allergy to certain foods and an obsession of the mind. And, you know, I was dying. That was killing me. Those behaviors were killing me. And, you know, those resentments that I held on to for so many years led me to this lifestyle that was killing me. You know, I learned in this program that doing the fourth step was a way to clear the blocks between me and my higher power. And, you know, that's what I wanted. I made a commitment in step three to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. So I wanted to know him. I wanted to understand my higher power. And so by doing this process and this four-step inventory, I wanted to clear those blocks so that I can have that open relationship with my higher power. You know, I was able to get abstinent for periods of time. However, you know, during those periods of time, resentments built up. And I didn't have a way to get rid of them. I held on to them, and which eventually led me to eat again and led me to purge and led me to restrict. And I was killing myself again. And I was in that cycle, you know, for many, many hours and many, many days. And so, you know, today, you know, I take the actions, and I did this inventory, and I cleared those blocks. And I am so grateful for the guidance that I got from the vision, from the big book, and following this program, and my sponsor. Because today, you know, I work this program every day, and I have to take the actions and to continue to clear those blocks, because I am a human, and I make mistakes, and resentments do build up. But today I do have a program to work, and I'm very grateful for that. And, you know, with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Terry H. Eileen M., followed by Terry F.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire, and really grateful to be on the line this morning. Thank you, everyone, for your service. The line that kind of jumps out at me is, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. And, you know, that just, to me, that's, you know, while I'm shutting myself off, you know, my ego is rebuilding itself. That's why I heard that at a meeting recently. And it just makes so much sense, you know, because we know that ego is easing God out. And, you know, I was thinking about this morning, I had, you know, I had this resentment that it was kind of brewing around 6 a.m. I didn't know what was going on at first. I just felt this like ill at ease feeling. And, you know, I kind of did some meditation, and it occurred to me that, well, I have this resentment. You know, left over from a few days ago. I didn't even realize it. And, you know, I knew immediately what to do. You know, I pick up my 10th step right away. And I'm so grateful that I have a tool to deal with that, to deal with, you know, those ill at ease feelings. And, you know, this morning I was reading page 58. I was starting this chapter 5 with a sponsee, and this line really struck me that says, you know, if you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. And, you know, this is definitely the willing to go to any length steps is 4 through 9, because it does take a lot of courage to do step 4 and to, you know, to do it really thoroughly and really dig deep. And I started another go around with the steps, you know, because I wanted to get a deeper spiritual experience. So right now I'm working on a step 4 with my sponsor, and, you know, I'm just uncovering more things. It's like someone said yesterday at the meeting, it's like peeling away another layer of the onion, you know, just digging deeper and getting closer to a higher power. And, you know, that I got to do this daily work. You know, I got to still, you know, I'm doing that 4-step, but I still got to keep up with the 10 steps, you know, the resentments that come up during the day. Those need to be cleaned up. So I'm really grateful. Thanks for letting me share. Have a good day, everybody.
Thanks, Eileen M. Terry H., followed by Wendy M.
Good morning, Sylvia. This is Carrie S., recovered in Golden, Colorado, and so grateful to be living in the sunlight of the spirit. This is one of my favorite lines, that this promise for when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. And for me, what I've learned is what shuts me off is if I'm overthinking, overanalyzing, trying to have my will. If I'm trying to wrap my head around the situation, then it's me, the Carrie show. And I can't, and then I'm blocking myself off from God. And I loved a couple years ago, Nancy R., she, in her special edition, she said her sponsor had her write in the front of the big book, "You will never have your way again. Love God." And I wrote that in my big book. And I just try to understand that I have to get out of the way, or else I'm going to block myself off from God. And that overthinking, it's killed me. And that self-righteousness, if I'm in self-righteousness, the saying I'm right, that attitude is going to create that vicious cycle of resentment. And what I've been taught is that's the, I'm resending that feeling that shuts us off, that it's this indignant displeasure, persistent ill will at something regarded as wrong, an insult, or an injury. And as a little girl, I was told that I used to pout, I used to put my hands on my hips and do this little stomp with my feet, roll my eyes, because something was wrong in my life. So I felt like there was this injury towards me, this insult. I had resentments, and that's been my life. That's been my cycle. But right here in this reading, it gives us this promise. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. And that's a promise that this warning in this big book is telling me, that freedom is not free. I need to set those things aside, and it works. It really works. And I'm so grateful for a vision for you, and I'm so grateful for everybody out there. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Terry F. Wendy M., followed by Jen A.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered gratefully in Colorado, and thank you all for your service. Sylvia, thanks for moderating this morning. So the line I want to look at is, but the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. Yes, absolutely. And the focus here is on the more we fought. You know, so the 10-step promise says we cease fighting everything and everyone. And food, right? Neutrality with food, neutrality with people, neutrality with my defects of character. And I have to say, I fought everything and everyone, and I fought the truth. You know, I fought the truth. I lied in my marriage of 16 years, I lied. I fought the truth the entire time. I lied to myself. I lied to you. I fought the food. I fought my body. I fought my mind. You know, fighting one's mind is crazy, right? It's like, here's reality, and then it's like, no, I'm going to force a different reality, and I'm going to believe it in my mind, and it's going to be super uncomfortable, but I don't know that it's super uncomfortable because I'm eating, right? So as long as I'm eating, shopping, lusting, whatever I'm doing to fill the void, I can bend reality. I can change it. I can live in a fantasy world. You know, I can fight life on life's terms. Like, literally, when I measure my food in the morning, that's life on life's terms. Not because on Wendy's fantasy terms, right, I'm eating, like, whatever, 10 cups of something rather than half a cup or whatever it is that I've measured. You know, because measuring my food is like measuring my life. It's a spiritual experience, right? So what's happening right now for myself is I'm not fighting anything. I'm completely calm. I'm completely centered. I'm telling the truth for the first time in 16 to 18 years, right? And I'm not reacting to the reactions. And you know what I'm doing? I'm surrendering completely. I am not controlling other people's reactions to me. I'm not responsible for other people's anger, fear, jealousy, whatever. I'm not responsible anymore. I'm so free because I'm living in integrity. I'm telling the truth. And more to the point, I'm not trying to control the outcome after I tell the truth. I'm just saying it's a cup of sugar. Actually, it's not sugar because that's not on my plan. But it's a cup of, I don't care, whatever, egg whites. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm not exerting myself more. I'm not trying to control outcomes. I'm calm. I'm with God. I told my truth. My truth and my insides and my outsides now match, and it's incredibly freeing. It's unbelievably freeing. You know, I don't have to fight anymore. I don't have to fight anything. I can just be in acceptance. Acceptance of everything is so exceedingly freeing. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. Jen A.
Good morning, Sylvia. Thank you so much. And my name is Jen A. I'm recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic from Littleton, Colorado. Okay, so the song that is playing over in my head from the radio was the Somebody Done Me Wrong song, Hey, You Want to Play That Game? And it just plays over and over and over again in my head. And as I read this this morning, wrong, 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 I'm wrong, quite wrong, people were wrong, they were wrong to me, right? And what does wrong get me? It gets me in trouble, and it makes things worse. Because you know what? I'm trying to have my own way, and when my way doesn't work, then I'm going to run you over with my Mack truck, and possibly I just might even back up over you. And that's the type of person that I was. And I was talking to someone the other day, and they were like, you are like that? And I'm like, yeah, I was like that with my kids, my family, my ex-husband, you know. And it didn't even matter if I, like, verbally did it. But if I did it in my head, that was even worse. It was all this delusional thinking, right? It was the story that I was telling myself is that, I'm right. Other people are wrong. They should respect me. I should have things the way that I want them. And when I got to step four, and when I do a resentment inventory, 4 through 7, you know, which is a 10th step, I begin to see these things, and I begin to look at it, and I get to see just how crazy I am. And this to me is a dangerous place to be. Right when I think I'm right. So, I just have to say, I heard a gal today already say that she has to give up, give in, and give it all she's got. And I thought, that's it. You know, and for me at this fourth step, like I'm ready. Every time when I go to do one of these resentment inventories and put these things down on paper and get right with myself and get right with God, it is a beautiful thing, because what I see on the end when I come on out on the other side is that I'm, and we'll, you know, we'll,
we'll get there in step seven, is that God's going to remove from me these defects of character. He's going to remove from me the need to continue to feel sorry for myself and be a victim and play the victim role. And it's going to get, you know, it's going to stop being so obvious and so, I don't know what I want to say, in my life. It's not going to be happening all the time. And then I get to see how God would have me be. And that's the best part, and that's the sunlight of the Spirit. That's me standing before God completely exposed and just saying, wow, this is so amazing, right? Because being in the sunlight of Spirit is better than anything I ever could imagine. I don't ever want to be shut off. I don't ever want to be in that dark place again. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jen A. So we're on page 65. We're on the third paragraph. We went back to our lives. We're going to read through two paragraphs and comment on the end. The to drink is to die. We're commenting on both paragraphs. Who do I have?
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Aviva.
Is this Aviva? I couldn't understand.
Yes.
Okay.
Eileen S.
Eileen S.
Lucy R.
I just missed someone. C R. Who is that?
Lucy. Lucy R. L U C Y.
Lucy R. Okay.
Reggie O.
Reggie O.
Sherry K. B.
Sherry K. B. And there was someone very quiet in the background.
Patty T.
Patty T. Okay, I'm sure that that's all we're going to be able to fit in. Kathleen O. Aviva, I don't have your last name, last initial. You could do it when you check in. Eileen S., Lucy R., Reggie O., Sherry K.B., and Patty T. We won't probably have time for everybody, but we'll see if we can make it work. Kathleen O., you start. Aviva, you'll be back right behind her.
Good morning. Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you for your service this morning, and thank you, everyone, for the great shares today.
And Kathleen, hang on for 1 second. If you're not speaking, please mute. We have a noisy line. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Okay, thanks. So this morning, I was listening to the earlier call, and one of our beloved dudes used the word antecedent, and that got me thinking because I use what I call the ABCs in training and training dogs. And so the A is the antecedent, the B is the behavior, and the C is the consequence. And it's sort of how it's laid out in these paragraphs. So the antecedent, which is an event preceding another event, is the world and people are often wrong. And then the behavior, the more we fought, the worse matters got. So the behavior is I build up these resentments. And the consequence is then I have this unhappiness. So, you know, the ABCs, the antecedent, maybe people are wrong. But the behavior is if I change the behavior, if I'm honest and thorough and I discuss my resentments and I don't always have to be right, then the consequence is I'll no longer be blocked by the sunlight of the Spirit. So, you know, this line, to the precise extent we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? And I think of that, it's like, you know, I would have all these emotions, and rather than deal with them, I would be very nice and pleasant on the outside, but on the inside, you know, I was miserable. And so how did I squander the hours? I squandered the hours by eating compulsively, and that did nothing but bring misery when I could have been useful. And today I don't have to do that. When I go into self-pity or selfishness, or I have resentments, or I feel people have wronged me, I work these steps, and so I don't have to eat. You know, I don't have to eat, and I can live. I can be useful, and it is such a gift. You know, that last sentence, I just lost it. Oh, and with us to drink is to die. For me, if I eat, I'm not going to physically die, probably, but I will be the walking dead because that's what I was before when I was in the food. I was the walking dead. I was going through the motions of life, not enjoying it, being miserable, and feeling like food was the only answer to me. And it's so nice today that the answer is not food. You know, the answer is my higher power, these steps, And I'm just very grateful. And thank you so much, I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Aviva, when you check in, give us the first initial of your last name, followed by Eileen S.
Hi, Aviva M., Los Angeles, compulsive overeater.
Thank you.
Hi. So I just wanted to share because yesterday when I – oh, please time me. Okay, save time. Thank you.
Okay.
So yesterday when I faced my boss about this write-up, I had talked to my sponsor before, and I wanted God to be, like, through me, like that warm sunshine. And what he told me that was very interesting is God's with you no matter what. And when we talk about resentment, I live in resentment all the time. You know, I keep talking about this because it's so prevalent. I'm still that six-year-old girl wishing that I could control the teacher who's bullying her. And it's like what he said yesterday was really interesting was that even when we're in resentment, even though we aren't sadness, because I'm like, well, if I was with God, if God was with me, I would be happy all the time. And he said, no, God is with you in the pause of the resentment. God is with you when you have that pause when you're crying. God is with you when you make these decisions. So the person that had the meeting with them yesterday was an abstinent person because I do go to meetings. I listen to you guys. I don't do my other vices, and I show up. But it was really scary and uncomfortable, and I knew something was wrong because last night I wanted to eat cookies. I don't eat cookies on my abstinence day. Sugar-free, fat-free, gluten-free. No. If it's in the shape of a cookie, it's mine, and I don't eat it today. But I was, like, okay after the meeting, so I went to a meeting last night, and I'm on the phone with you guys today and confessing that I wanted to eat a meeting and drank an extra cup of coffee yesterday. And you know what? It's okay. And that's part of the resentment, too. And I'm in the middle of the fourth in two different programs doing it. And it's okay. And I don't know if I'm willing to let go of being a victim, but the way I was thinking before just does not work. So I just wanted to get that out there. And thank you guys for letting me share. And according to my job, it's done. But, you know, it's scary. And God's with you when it's scary. God's with you when you're mad. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Aviva M. Eileen S., followed by Lucy R.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Elaine, and thank you all for your shares. I've gotten so much out of it. Sylvia, sorry. My name is Eileen S. I'm in Portland, Oregon, and I'm timing myself because I can go on and on. Wow, these paragraphs are so amazing. I came on the line right after the paragraphs were read, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm so upset that I missed that because especially the paragraph, It Is Plain That A Life. I mean, that paragraph is so profound to me. But before I get to that part, I was thinking about how where it says the world and its people were often quite wrong. And for me, I want to say the world and its people were often quite annoying. Annoying was has been my mantra. They're so annoying. And, oh, my God, I cannot live like that. And I guess, you know, annoying means they're wrong, of course, because they're doing something wrong to annoy me. And I just can't live like that. I cannot live like that. Earlier in the big book, it talks about, you know, we're a producer of confusion rather than harmony. And I've read that a million times, but not until I've been on Visions did I really see. Wow, that is so deep for me. And oh my God, I do not want to be a producer of confusion rather than harmony. I want to be a producer of harmony to the best of my ability. I'm not in control of everybody, of course, but that's huge for me. And I'm just starting my ninth step right now. And I'm very willing. I don't have anybody I won't do it with. I've done the steps before, but somehow it's different for me now with all you guys. And some of the bigger, grosser ones are over, but there's still a bunch of resentments there, and there's still a bunch of amends that I'm to make. And so back to this here, to the precise extent about the squandering the hours that might have been worthwhile. Oh, my God, I squandered so many hours, sometimes with eating, sometimes with just resentment and annoyance. And oh my God, what a waste of life. I just turned 65 and I'm like, there's time that I just lost, and I don't have any time to do that anymore.
I want to live the rest of my life. I want to live in the sunlight of the Spirit. And it says, when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the Spirit. And that is my experience. That's what happens. My life becomes very, very small when I get into those resentments. So I'm willing to do my amends. I thought when I was talking to my sponsor, I was like, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm going to do these. I can't wait to get the promises. Now I'm like, ooh, it's a little bit hard to do. So, but I'm willing anyway. It doesn't matter if it's hard, right? It doesn't matter if it's hard. So I'm very grateful to be on Visions with all of you. I learned so much from everyone. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen S. Lucy R., followed by Reggie O.
Hi, thank you for your service. This is Lucy R., and I appreciate these pages. Oh, if you could time me, I don't have a timer here.
Okay, and if everyone could mute, if you're not speaking, please mute. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you again. So I initially turned to food at a very young age. It became my answer for all of my problems and all of my feelings and emotions. That's what I turned to. Step four is one of the spiritual tools provided to me by this divine, amazing plan here, and it helps me to clean up the past. Food came in between me and God. At a young age, it became my God. Food blocked me from God. It blocked me from feelings. It distorted my thinking and made me ill. Step four helped me to stop with the victim mentality. That sentence, I concluded that others were wrong. That was as far as I got. That was my problem. Step four helps me to take a look at my own part. And this is not a hard step. You know, a lot of people, including myself, I thought, oh, yikes, you know, I don't know if I... Well, you know what? It actually ended up being very empowering because I cannot change other people. But with higher power's help, I can change myself. And so it actually, over time, became really good news to me to know what is my part, because that's the stuff I can change, or at least more likely I will be able to change with higher power's help. So it's good for me to see those things. And step 10, you know, it keeps me clean and current, and it helps me to continue to focus on myself and to see what is my part. So I cannot change what I do not see. And step four asked me for the very first time to take a look at everything that was my part, to stop blaming other people, to get out of that victim mentality, and to turn the finger toward myself and say, okay, what am I doing? What could I change? Well, how am I interacting? The spiritual tools like step four really pull back that heavy black curtain that was in between me and my higher power. And now that it's pulled all the way away from me, thank you, God, I am living in the sunlight of the Spirit, and I'm so grateful, and I pass.
Thank you, Lucy R. Reggie, you'll be our last share, and I can give you 2 minutes.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sylvia, for your service. This is Reggie O., very gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. Just powerful to be reading this, you know, and I was looking at the either or, you know, we get to have either side of the equation, you know, and one side of the equation is squandering away my time, you know, squandering away my time with resentment and ill feelings and the way that people should be and all of the ways that I, you know, was wronged, you know, et cetera. And then the other side is having this great life and this connection with a spiritual experience and having that be a way of life in the sunlight of the Spirit. So, you know, when I think about this, it's like, yeah, I really do want to be thorough and honest when I'm doing the fourth step. And I've just done one again a few weeks ago, and you know, new things came up, but I want to be thorough and honest because I don't want to leave anything behind. You know, I don't want anything that's going to block me from the sunlight of the Spirit. And it's good for me to remind myself of this today in doing 10 steps. And I was attempting to do a 10th step, you know, that small version of the four yesterday, with some of this behavior that comes up for me like every 4 or 5 months. And I had this shame about it. And yesterday, but I made a commitment to call someone, you know, to do a mini fourth, before I ever did it again. Couldn't get a single person yesterday, but I but I left messages with the people that I called, and I got home, and this was interesting because I did choose to do this behavior. I got home, I had a message from someone, and in the middle of her message, she burst out laughing, and then I burst out laughing, and then I called her, and we couldn't stop laughing for about 5 minutes because I had so judged myself for something that was ridiculous to judge, and there was no need for remorse or shame or any of the ways that I usually felt. But that was just, that was the sunlight of the spirit came in. You know, I had felt like a holy roller on the floor. I was laughing so hard I couldn't stop, you know. And it was the ability to do that that actually, I believe, has lifted whatever this is that, you know, haunts me every four or five months. And just really grateful for Yeah, everybody that shared today, thought shares are so powerful. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Reggie O. And I'm sorry to Sherry KB and Patty T that we won't have time to have you share today. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Thursday. We will now close the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Terry H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, I'm Terry H., recovered in North Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.